kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
To the deeper life, and we're calling this title, It Is God's Desire You Prosper in All Things. It is God's desire you prosper in all things. You know, if we love someone, or it's somebody of the family, or your children, or husband, or wife, or whatever it would be, whatever they put their hands to, we have a desire within us that they do well, that they prosper. And that comes because we care, we love, we have affection for family, for people that we like, we love, and so on. Well, how much more is it with our Heavenly Father who loves us and has given all to us through Jesus Christ? It is his desire that we prosper, that we do well. Above all, it's his desire that we prosper in our walk and fellowship with him. Our salvation is a positive work, not a negative work. Even though we may go through the trials and tribulations, and the enemy would really try to make God's love and dealings with you very negative, but they're not. Everything we know works together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So we are understanding that it is God's heart for us to prosper, to do well, and he wants us to do well as overcomers. He's presented this walk of faith that we may overcome in all things, and he's showing and teaching us how to do it. Again, that is a form of prospering, doing well. I believe that the Father's heart in which to reveal to crowning creation the overcomers, the bride that makes herself ready, in many ways he's revealing that because he's shown to the world, or showing to the world, that he blesses and prospers those who do well. And he's going to reveal this for his glory. He's going to reveal this, that these promises in his word are true, can be received, that we can be blessed by them in this life. And it depends whether you want to or you don't. And of course, we're going to open up with a very familiar verse that we see in 3 John chapter, verse 2. 3 John and verse 2, because there's only one chapter to this short epistle. And in the opening, he says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." And he says that you may be in health just as your soul prospers. So he's saying here in the opening of this short epistle that he wants those that read this, and his desire is that they be in health, that they prosper, and so on. And that is his prayer. That is his intercession. So we pick up the attitude and heart and motive of these early saints and Christians, their prayers for one another, for these letters that should go and be read amongst the churches. That was their prayer, that was their desire, that they do well, that they prosper, that they be in health. Where were they getting all of this? Because the Holy Spirit was inspiring them. The Holy Spirit was meeting their needs as they walk by faith. And it's no different, because we're told that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that this word speaks exactly what it means, because this Greek word that you prosper, this Greek word meaning euodal, and it means to do well. It means also to succeed or have success. It also means to prosper. And he includes your health with this, as well as what you put your hands to. So that is the understanding of what this epistle is to these Christians. And it's there in the word. It hasn't changed. It's not been removed. God has got that one verse there for a reason. And very few ever preach on this. It's probably forgotten. Like 3 John can so easily be forgotten that you forget to read it because it's short. And yet look at that tremendous verse in verse 2. So does everyone wish to prosper and to live spiritually and materially well, that God provides? Well, of course you do. There'd be something really wrong with you if you didn't want to. You wanted to live like a pauper. You wanted to suffer in every way. You know, it wouldn't take long before you think, well, what is wrong with that person? How much more if you had that attitude in the family? You would seriously think there's something wrong with your son or your daughter that didn't want to prosper, that didn't want to do well, that didn't want to be healthy, that didn't want to succeed in anything. You would be very concerned over your child, and you probably would be thinking about taking them to some specialist or psychologist or whatever it would be. You would be very aware something is wrong. And yet we have Christians who think like that and act like that. How it must grieve our Heavenly Father, who has given us all things in Jesus Christ. Because if you would be concerned with your child or somebody in the family who was so negative in thinking, how much more with our Heavenly Father? But we know that everything that God has given us in Jesus Christ is based on the principle of faith, believing, and not doubting. And that, of course, is what sorts it all out. There are many who like to talk about the word and theology and whatever, but try to get them to live and walk by faith and trust in God's word and promises, and they run a mile. And yet, this is what he said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." What a blessing. Well, let's look at a few verses in which to encourage ourselves with regard to what we have just read there. For example, let's turn to Psalm 122 and verse 6. We're talking about God wanting to bless and to prosper. He says something here, and this is a principle. This is not a law. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your places. For the sake of my brethren and companions," and so on, "peace be with you." So we are called in which to pray for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem. much, much trouble is going on there at present. And much that we see naturally that's going on is awful, is an abomination before God. But we are still to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of God's people, which is going to happen. Why? Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to rule and reign from there. And that is why we have to look beyond what is going on at present. And we pray because he is going to rule from there. It is going to be his government. And when he sets his kingdom up, we most surely would expect and believe that God would cause the nation and people to be blessed, to prosper, even though they're going to be taught the ways of the Lord. So there is a divine principle there in operation. We also can have trouble and even confusion why it seems that enemies prosper, or they prosper for a season. For example, let's see in Psalm 10, verses 4 to 5. Psalm 10 and verses 4 to 5, it says, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them." So he doesn't understand that he's going to be judged. They are going to be judged, but God is just and right. But it seems that they prosper, or they do for a season. And I know that one can be a hard one. When we have to walk and trust God and believe that the money will be there by the end of the month in which to pay the bills and so forth, there are many, many people who don't have such thoughts or problems like that. But what is going to be their end? And they never use their money for the right things, for the glory of God. It is always for selfish means, or to control, or whatever it would be. And of course, we're seeing more and more of that now in these last days. There is considerable wealth being generated now globally around the world. It's utterly obscene, the amounts of money that some people are making. It is gross. But it's all getting out of control. And they do not realize that it's all building up to finally be judged, and God will judge it. No two ways about it. So these people, they may look as though they prosper, but it's only for a season. Your prosperity, your blessings are eternal, and they will continue throughout eternity. So what are we destined for, brothers and sisters? Not only in this life, but in the future to come. But the enemy, we know he can prosper. And that's why many of them give their souls, they sell their souls over to the devil to prosper. We know that goes on in masonry. Luciferianism, they give their soul to the devil. And they prosper for a season. But sadly, they are eternally damned, and they will go where Satan is going, because money is their greed. And that is why God will deal with us. He'll deal with us with money. If there's any area of greed or covetousness with us, God will deal with it. He will place you through trials and testings where you'll be tested in it. And a lot of your trials and testings with finance is where God works that deliverance so that we get free, in which he can prosper and bless us. because that is the Father's heart. And we certainly believe. We've just read back, haven't we, in 3 John 2 about this, and we all agree with it. We all say amen to it. Well, we're going to be tested. God's going to bring us into that blessing, but there'll be some trials and testings along the way in which you can enter into that blessing. What does it say? Isaiah 30 and verse 23, it says, then he will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. And it will be fat and plentiful in that day. Your cattle will feed in large pastures. Your oxen, your young donkeys will work on the ground. And so it goes on. That's speaking of blessing. God is going to bless your hands, your work, where you work. He's going to bless you there. He's going to make sure that you prosper, so that others will see for the glory of God. So it's always right to think like that and to allow God to work in whatever you put your hands to, that you may prosper. What did God say to the children of Israel under Joshua when they were to go into to cross the Jordan? Listen to what it says in 1 Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. So there we go. That was God's heart and desire for that new generation to go forth to possess the land, that they will prosper. They will prosper in what they put their hands to, that they would do well, that they would succeed. But how does it come? It comes from the word of God. He says, you shall meditate in it day and night. It will be your source of meditation, your teaching, your encouragement, so that you don't lose sight of it. There's the same principle again. This is why we come around the word regularly. Because God has put within our hearts a hunger for the word, to listen to it, to meditate upon it, to learn from it, because that's the principle how you succeed, how you prosper, how you get healed, how you get delivered, and so forth. We mustn't let this word depart from us, brothers and sisters. It is our spiritual food. That principle is still the same. There are many ways that one can prosper as a Christian. We can prosper through the word of God, which is our spiritual meat, that word that we base our faith upon, because we're told constantly that faith comes by hearing, reading this word. It also comes as we yield to the word. In other words, as we obey it, we allow God to do it our way. His way, I should say. It's also dependent upon our consecration, our separation from the world unto the Lord. It's also dependent upon our discipleship, that we have put our hands to the plow. We are going forward. We're not looking back. It's also dependent upon our prayer life as we get before God in prayer, and our commitment to the assembly, to the body of Christ. These are just some of the principles that we have learnt, that God has shown us over the years, that enable and help us to prosper, to be in health, and so on. They're the principles. And if that's not happening, then somewhere, which we've mentioned here, it's broken down. It's not happening. And that's why. And so we have to be on our guard. And if we are aware that maybe I'm not meeting the conditions as I should be, then it should be a source of prayer and asking God to help to work that through you. Because he'll do it. We've already shown that he wants to prosper and bless you. Maybe because we're talking about this today, we're highlighting this, bringing this up, some maybe have slightly slipped or let some things go. And this is the love and mercy and grace of God bringing this up now in the teaching so that we can prosper and do well. And that's why we are told that we have all things in Jesus Christ. Let's just remind ourselves again in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 18 to 23. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 23. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. There we are. All is yours. We can say that because we are in Christ and the Father has given all to his Son and his Son has shared it all with us. He's not withheld back anything. The problem is we just don't always believe and trust him. Even when the trials come, stand firm, confess, and watch the salvation of the Lord. Watch how he works. One thing I'm noticing with us, he's bringing some of us totally to the end of ourselves. And there's a reason for that. Because he's saying, watch, look, see me work, perform. How many saints do you read from Genesis to Revelation where he brought them to the end for the reason then that they would watch and look? All the while we're looking to get out of a situation or to try and work it out in our mind or whatever, we're not totally looking to the Lord. And that's why he brings us to the end of ourselves, where it looks hopeless in the natural, or it's too late. He does it so that you then can only look to him and him alone. He's now got your attention because you've tried everything else and it's failed. Do you see that? And this is why he brings us at times to the end of ourselves. For the purpose to bless you, that you may prosper, that you may be delivered and healed, that he will meet those needs or whatever it is. That's why. And eventually we get it. We let go. We let go of that fear, that anxiety. Me trying to be in control. I'm finding a lot in my life and walk. He brings me to the end in the natural. But I know what that's about. I know what it's for. So that I'm completely looking to him. and reminded again of Abraham when he offered up Isaac and about to slay him. And God provided the sacrifice. And he looked up and there it was, a ram caught in the thicket. There's the principle. He brings you right to the end. And then you look up and there is the provision. It's supernatural. And that provision is healing in mind, body and spirit. That you may prosper, be blessed, be healed. There it is. But we often have to let go. We haven't learnt yet that our fears and anxieties are a hindrance. They are holding on. They are stopping God from working, from doing what he wants to do. And this is why he's working on that, delivering us from that. Because all the while there is fear, unbelief, emotions are held by that. And our emotions will always have the upper hand. And our emotions will take us to the arm of the flesh. That's what they do. And that's why he's doing what he's doing with some of us. For that very reason, to show that he will bless, he will prosper, he is faithful, he has promised, he doesn't lie, you see. It just takes a very, very long time, doesn't it, to be convinced. And a lot of our problem is we're still looking to other people where outwardly it didn't work. And we've got to stop doing that. You have your own walk before God, and it's between you and God. And if somebody did fail, or a brother or sister did fail, well, praise God, you've got the wherewithal in which not to fail and to allow God to do that work so that others can see that God is faithful. Have you ever asked God to succeed for the purpose to reveal not only God's glory, but to show others that God is faithful. He is true to his word. Use me as a witness, Father, for this, for your glory. I don't think many of us have ever thought of it like that. For the very purpose that others can see that God is faithful. That's why you see the faith of many of the people raised when they saw the great works through Jesus. When they were seeing people blessed, healed. When they saw the 5,000 fed. They saw something. It quickened their faith. The devil wants to stop faith from being quickened. He doesn't want faith to succeed because he knows when God blesses through you, you are a witness and others are going to see what God has done. Can you see how subtle he is? And he wants us to believe, look, it doesn't work. Nobody else is doing it. That's the devil's lie. And we mustn't listen to that. No, what you do is you rise up and say, here am I, Lord, use me for your glory, for your witness. That's how you're used in these last days. Not relying on the other people or looking to see whether they're succeeding or they're not succeeding. We don't do that. That's not what the deeper life is about. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to do well, succeed, and be in health? Use me, Lord. Here I am. Work through me for your glory, that others will see that you are true to your word. That is the heart and nature of an overcomer, the bride who makes herself ready. And this is where God sorts out the men from the boys. And all he wants is an empty vessel. He just wants us to believe. And he does it because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can't go wrong. It's just we listen to the devil too much. And that's why we need to keep in the word of God, that it be your meditation and so forth, as Joshua said to the children of Israel, because he said that's how you're going to overcome the enemy. You overcome him by this word. It's the sword of the Spirit. Because he doesn't want you blessed. He doesn't want you to prosper. And he certainly doesn't want you as an overcomer. I believe this is really where he's fighting with FGA at the moment. How do I know? Because he's trying it with me. So if he's trying with me, he's trying it with the rest of us. You see, the wisdom of the world will never understand the Christian prosperity, because they just look at the trials and the testings that are attached to it. And they don't understand. They can't see the bigger picture of what God is doing. You see, prosperity is based on what you want some to believe. You see, poverty gives more glory to God, and that's what many want to believe. Oh, if I'm in poverty, if I'm poor in spirit, oh, that's what gives God the glory. It's all based with the works. That's religious spirits and thinking. And I know people who are like that. I came out of the denomination with that poverty spirit, that mentality, that thinking. You must be poor. You mustn't have anything. Sell all that you have. Walk in poverty. And you will have the kingdom of God. Completely opposite to what the Bible's saying. Failing to understand that you give your life over to God. And that your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. They don't understand any of that. They're trying all of this in the flesh, in the carnal. And that's what religious spirits will do. It's very easy to take on a religious spirit, you know. It can sound very pious, but not in God's eyes. We've already read to you. We've read to you that God desires that you have all things in this life. We've just read it to you in 1 John 3. That is what the word of God says against what religion says or how we feel or whatever it would be. And that's why it should be good to see our brother and sister prosper and be in health. And to pray in accordance. You see, prosperity isn't for you to walk independent of God. And that's what it's not about. And that's why God will bless us. He will get us to prosper at that time when he knows that he will get all the glory. And it will throw you more and more upon him and not make you independent of him. And that's why he has to withhold at times until you pass that test. Because we don't know. We don't know what is in our heart until it happens. And some Christians have prospered and they become independent of God. No, they don't need him anymore. Not like they used to, you see. It's not until something goes wrong does God get our attention. You see, prosperity is that God will be glorified. And that's why I believe in it. My prosperity, what I have been blessed with thus far, is for the glory of God. That his glory will be seen. And that others can take encouragement, that they too can walk the same. That is what it's all about. That is the deeper life. That is the principle, you see. You don't have to be a pauper in this life. And that's why we can be generous, we can be giving, because you can never outgive God. I find the more you give, the more comes back. But that isn't the purpose or reason, it's just the nature of it, if you give by faith. Because it's about prosperity. And I will end again as it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, may this work in our hearts, our life, our actions, all for the glory of God. Lord, help us to enter into this. For we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.